Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
All around. So open your Bible to Nehemiah. We are in Nehemiah. We're going to share one verse in chapter 6, and we're going to jump into chapter 7. And we'll hopefully go a little bit faster through the last part of this. But we've been talking about lessons in leadership. So Nehemiah was a cupbearer who became the ruler of Jerusalem and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. But he says in Nehemiah 6, verse 15, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. So the building the wall, building a church, building a building, doing that's the task for the moment. But what's the task really for life? What's the goal? Where do we go from here? Well, it should be building the body of Christ. So how can we effectively build the body of Christ? I believe the best way that we can build the body of Christ is develop leaders. So if we're going to develop leaders, what is required? And we're going to jump into Nehemiah chapter 7. We'll be taking just a few key verses tonight from Nehemiah 7 and 8. Well, the first thing is if you're going to have leaders, you have to have people who are faithful. Right? If you're going to have a leader, they got to be faithful. So in Nehemiah 7, verse 1 and 2, it says, it came to pass when the wall was built, and I set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. So faithfulness is required in stewardship. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 if you have your Bible. We can read this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. But Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2. Let a man account of us as the ministers or servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, stewardship is a huge thing. You know, I got a chance last year to go and hear Steve Green. He's the head of the most generous organization giving to churches, church ministries, 501c3 ministries in the United States. So they have Hobby Lobby and Mardell's. And so I got to go hear him, and I wanted to hear him because they're very, very generous. And their model is, and I wanted to know how they do it because they give 50% of their profit away. And I'm like, how do you give 50% of your profit away? Because there are years they don't make a profit. But what they do is they go off the year before. So they use the year before and they give 50% of the profits from the year before, and they've been very, very successful. But when they started their company, you know what? His dad, they just believed God. And they went through really difficult times, really problematic times, times where it looked like they would go broke and different things, but they just believed God, kept giving, kept sowing and believing God, and God blessed them. And I loved hearing him, but the one thing that came out in everything that he said was this thing called stewardship. Man, I believe in stewardship. Really, the most generous people that I know have this mentality that nothing that I own is really my own. Everything that I am and everything that I own really belongs to God, and I'm just managing it. Now, inevitably, you know what? Our children, by the grace of God, have done very well. But this is the mentality that I actually raise my children with, is they're not my children. They're God's children. And God's given me the responsibility of raising them. You know what that is? That's stewardship. Right? So we need to be a steward over whatever God gives us, whether it's finances, whether it's property, whether it's, you know, work, whatever. We need to be stewards. And so it says right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, that faithfulness is required in stewardship. We were talking about this in my office today, and we were talking about leadership, and I couldn't remember the word really. But the higher you go in responsibility, the higher you have to go in accountability. Does that make sense? So we're not going to give you more responsibility if you're not accountable at a certain level. And the more responsibility that we receive from God, the more accountable that we need to be. And so we need accountability going with responsibility. I think that fits in with faithfulness is required in stewardship. I used to say this often. I would say that the reward for work well done is the opportunity to do more. And did you know that is a scriptural principle of stewardship? Let's turn to Luke. And I want to read here in Luke chapter 16. I want to read verse 10 through verse 12. Jesus is speaking. He who is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust in much. If you therefore have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So he's saying, really, if you get to understand what he's saying, he says the least of things is finances. And if you don't learn how to be faithful in finances, did you know what? God's not going to give you rulership over spiritual things. And I was telling one of my staff, I think, this today, but there's a couple of times I made this decision. One was I was 17 years old. My dad had just passed away, and my grandmother and my grandfather owned a ranch. At that point in time, it was about $1 million with all the livestock. And my grandfather and my grandmother, they came to me when I was 17 years old, and they said, we'll give you this ranch, all the livestock, all the machinery, all the property. We'll give it all to you. One condition, you stay here and run it. Now, I knew from 3 years prior when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit that I was called to preach. I said, I can't do that, right? Because I know that God has called me, and I don't know what that ultimately means, but I can't take you up on that offer. So I made a decision when I was 17 that I wasn't going to let finances rule me. And I made that. I'm pretty financially focused. In fact, I went to one church and the pastor's wife was a clinical psychologist. And it was a very large church, but they wanted to do a test. So they did a test on me and did one on Barbara. But they actually said this. She actually said, you have a little bit too much focus on finances, and it's because your dad died at a young age. So you had a lot of responsibility that was given to you. And they said, the other thing is you really need to have a more of a hobby in life. So I think I'm getting a little bit better, but, I'm still pretty financially focused. All right. But, you know, I actually thought her test was actually pretty accurate. You know, when she took that test. But, you know, another time I made that decision is when we'd been pastoring in Kit Carson. So we'd been pastoring there for 13 years, and God led us to come here and start this church. And it, you know, it was challenging at the beginning. And you know what? I made a decision when we left Kit Carson to come here. I'm never going to let money be the number one reason that I make a decision. I'm going to let Jesus be the number one reason that I make a decision. So we made a decision to come here and to start this church and to do what we felt like God called us to do. It was very difficult in the beginning, but we made that decision. So it kind of made that when I was 17, and then I made that decision again, you know, consciously. And I still live by that principle, but I made that decision consciously again when I was 36. So that was 25 years ago, right before we came here. So, you know, if you're going to be a steward, you have to be faithful. And if you can't be faithful in finances, he says, if you can't be faithful with money, you're not going to be entrusted with true riches or spiritual things. So he says spiritual things are greater than natural things. And finances is really a picture a lot of times of what we do with our work. So Jesus is talking about this, and he says, if you can't be faithful in these small things, then who's going to make you ruler over much? He calls money a smaller thing. He goes on to say in verse 12, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? When I think about ministry, for instance, in the church, I think if I couldn't be faithful in another man's church, another man's ministry, then why would God give me my own, right? So I want to keep the attitude right, correct about that. I love Roger and Cindy. I love their attitude about the church. They come to town to visit their daughter, and they come to church, and they're here on a Wednesday night, and that's a testimony to me, right? And I have great respect for them. I have great respect for Natalie, too. She's an awesome blessing. And we're glad that she's here and helps. And we appreciate all the people that help in whatever realm that they do. But Nehemiah chose these people to be leaders, you know, in this city of God after he built the walls, because he said they were faithful and they feared God above many. You know, there's a scripture in Matthew 22, verse 14, and it says, many are called, but few are chosen. What's the difference between being called? See, I believe that we're all called to do something in the body of Christ. Right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says that we basically all receive the gift, and we need to be good stewards of the many-sided, the many-faceted grace of God. So thinking about that, many are called, few are chosen. The difference to me in being called and chosen is faithfulness. Now, what were they faithful over here in Nehemiah chapter 7 as Nehemiah began to appoint people in leadership positions? Notice in verse 5, he said, my God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, the people, that they may be reckoned, and they made a register of them. So the first thing is that Nehemiah said, we were faithful over what God put in our hearts. How many of you need to know that we need to individually be faithful over what God puts in our heart? Amen? Whatever God gives us, puts in our heart, we just need to be faithful over what God puts in our hearts. In this case, in the area of leadership, it was first of all, the leadership of the people. You know what God's most prized possession is? It's people. His inheritance is in the saints. God loves people, right? He's after people. He cares about people. So as we look at this in Nehemiah 7, we jump down to the end of the chapter after he does this, accounting of all the people. In verse 66, it says, the whole congregation together was 42,360 people. So they were faithful, first of all, over what God put in their heart, but secondly, over the leadership of the people. Right? I want to be faithful. I often pray before I speak, God, help me minister your grace to these people so they can receive what you have them to receive. Amen. I want to be faithful. So another thing is their leader. Look at this. We just had great worship. How many of you enjoyed the worship? It was awesome. You know, Aaron and Rachel moved here, and they'd been actually in Montana with the counseling center for 14 years. I think they've been here like 4 years now. But, you know, Rachel told Aaron, I think you need to put your name in, because we were having a switch in worship leaders. I went to another pastor. He had a bunch of worship leaders. And he said, God's going to give you two. And he did. He gave us Aaron, and he gave us Art. And then Art left, and he gave us Michelle. And God's been faithful to take care of the church. But they actually had been in Montana, and Rachel grew up in our church in Kit Carson, went to Caris Bible College, and then she went to a small Christian college in the Southeast United States and got her master's in counseling. Aaron's 2 years younger than her. He's a Baptist pastor's son. And Aaron was going to college same time as her, got his master's in counseling. So they went to Montana and they were there for 14 years running their counseling center. And then God called them to be here. So my Aaron, you know, he said, well, they don't know our system, so on and so forth. I don't know how to work. But Barbara and I took him out to lunch over here at the restaurant, and then we came over here and we had somebody crank up the sound system. Barbara said, Aaron, go up there and play your guitar, and Rachel, go up there and sing. And we listened to him. Barbara's like, they'll do a great job. And I told my Aaron, I said, Aaron, this is the deal. Did you know you can teach people systems, But you can't give people your heart. You know, we need leaders in the church that have a heart, right? Because they'll help us take the church forward. So God brought them. They did a fantastic job tonight. But you know, they went up there, and then Aaron got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he began to work with the group out of Redding, California, the great church there. And so we do a lot of their worship right here. So God's awesome in how he brings things and brings them to pass. It's really interesting. But worship was another thing. They were faithful over here. If we read here in verse 67, it says, beside their men servants, their maidservants, whom there were 7,337, they had 245 singing men and singing women. They had 245 people involved in the worship when they rebuilt the city of Jerusalem. Worship is something that I believe is close to God's heart. Notice this in Nehemiah 7, verse 68 and 69. Their horses, 736. Their mules, 245. What'd they farm with? What'd they farm with? Mules. Right? This is their livestock. This is their, it's an agricultural society. This is their work. This is what they spent time. I got a story about my great granddad. He farmed with a mule, Wiley, Colorado. Okay, this is like the early 1900s. So he went to this, buy this mule, and this guy said, I want $20 for the mule. And he said, I'll give you 15. He said, now it'll be 25. He said, I'm going to take it before the price goes up. So he cost himself $5. I've only had that happen once. Because I over-negotiated a deal, and then God said, now I want you to send him a gift because I told you to stop negotiating, and you kept negotiating. So now, hallelujah, I said, yes, Jesus. Cost me twice because I didn't obey the first time. It's better. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. All right. I obey God. Okay. So he said, I told you to stop and you kept going. So you send them some money.
Double.
I said, yes, sir. It wasn't a lot, but anyway, I did what he said. All right. So their work. We want to be faithful in the area of our work. So their livestock represented their work. And he said, so they had their mules, they had their horses, right? They had their camels. Camels are really expensive. They're a big deal in the Middle East. 435 and 6,720 donkeys. So this represented their work. So they were faithful over what God put in their heart, over the leadership of the people, over the worship, over the work, and finally, over the finances. Look at this in verse 70 to verse 72. Some of the chief fathers gave to the work, and Tirshah gave the treasure, 2,000 drams of gold, 50 basins, 530 priest garments. Some of the chief of the fathers gave to the treasure of the work, 20,000 drams of gold, and 2,200 pounds of silver. And that which the rest of the people gave was 20,000 drams of gold, and 2,000 pounds of silver, and 67 priest garments. So they were faithful in what God put in their heart, in the leadership of the people, in worship, in their work, and also in their finances. So if we're going to have leaders, we got to have faithful people. You can't do a lot without faithful people. One time I had one of my kids complain a few years after they left Kit Carson about the people that were leading in that area in the youth, and they said, you should have used this person. I said, one problem. They said, what? I said, they never came to church. They thought I was wrong. So I said, well, you ask Greg Trout, because Greg was a leader at AWM, Andrew Wallman Ministries. He grew up in my church. They asked Greg. He said, pastor's right. Get over it. So they got over it. Hallelujah. And they went forward. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you can't use people that don't come. You can't use people that are unfaithful, right? You have to have people that are there, okay? So we need faithfulness. Faithfulness is required in stewards, and faithfulness in different areas. First of all, what God puts in our hearts. Over the people, worship, work, and finances. That's just some of the areas. The second thing, if we're going to have good leaders, is we need to have a respect for the Word of God. And that's what Nehemiah restored, was a respect for the word of God. Notice this, Nehemiah 8, verse 1 through 3. It said, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate, and they spoke to Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, or the word of God, which the Lord commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law, the word, before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding on the first day of the 7th month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday." So, I mean, he's reading, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 hours, you know, before the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law, or to the word of God. Now, when he began to read the word of God, different things happened. But let's read on down in verse 6 through verse 8. It says, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people said, Amen, amen, lifted up their hands, bowed their heads, and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua and Benai and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the word or the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law or in the word of God distinctly and gave the sense." They explained it and caused the people to understand the reading. "So as they read from the word of God, they worshiped the Lord, they explained the word, and the people understood." Now, did you know what? We need to stick with the word. Amen. Did you know what? As long as I've preached, my pastor told me when I was young, he knew I was called to preach. He started helping develop me, but I said, "What do I preach?" He said, "Preach the word." Well, that's what Paul told Timothy. He said, "Preach the word." He said, "When I was young, when I was a pastor, I was struggling with what do I preach?" And my pastor said, "You got a whole Bible of things to preach." And you know what? The scripture is alive. The word's alive, and it never grows old. I don't know about you, but the word still speaks to me. And it directs me, and it helps me, and it encourages me. So I thank God for the word of God. We need to keep preaching the word of God. It's the word of God that's going to set people free. It's the word of God that's going to help people and heal people. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus talked about it. And he says here in Mark 7, talking about, he said in verse 6, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart's from me. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men." We don't need to teach the commandments of men. We need to teach the word of God. He said in verse 8, "For lay aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men." Did you know there's a lot of stuff out there that's being preached? I went on a venue where we have videos that go. I'm not going to tell you where it was, but I was looking to see if mine's on there, because I pay them a lot of money to be on there. And it was on there, down there, about 50 people. But I had these people that were, the titles of their sermons were things that I preach against. And you know what it is? It's they hold the tradition of men above the word of God. But if you preach these things in most churches, they'd think you're preaching the word, because this is preached and it's proclaimed so much that people don't even know what the word says. So we got to stay with the word. And Jesus said, you hold on to these traditions. And he said, you reject, in verse 9, the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. You know, I loved worship tonight. One reason I loved worship, you know what they were singing? Is they were singing the word. Praise the Lord. I love the word. You know, we had a man that was in my church in Kit Carson. He was a Nazarene. And then, you know, they started coming to our church. We went and visited him. Great, great man. But then they retired from Kit Carson, moved up here to north of Denver along the Front Range, and they owned some properties. But he was recently diagnosed with cancer. And so he called me, and I said, well, I want you to come down before you go to the doctor. And he'd been diagnosed, but before they do anything to you, and we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe God for your healing. So they came down, and that night there was a lot of traffic. It took him a couple hours to get down here. He walks in the door, and Ron here, who was ushering, Ron met him at the front door and said, you're going to get what you came for. Now they came in, Larry and Carla were here, Herb and Judith were here. We anointed him with oil, we prayed for him. You know, and he didn't have any immediate results. They checked him out and they said, well, the tumor's still there, but he didn't get any help. They said, let's just watch it for a while. So they watched it and it wasn't growing. So they said, well, let's see what happens. So last Wednesday night, I was actually teaching Wednesday during the day. I was teaching at Healing School at Andrew Walling Ministries. And when I was teaching there, I got a text from him. And he said, well, I just had a test. He's had no medical treatment. The tumor has shrunk 20%. Well, guess what? If it goes into remission and it dies, it takes it maybe a little bit. If you don't have the working of miracle, it might take a little bit before your body gets rid of it. But the process has begun. Amen. Amen. I love the word. But you know, if we don't believe the word, if we don't preach the word, we're not going to see. You know, John Osteen years ago asked God, he was a Baptist. He said, God, why am I not getting more people healed? He said, you don't preach on it. If you don't preach on it, you're not going to see it happen. If we don't preach what the word says, we're not going to see what the word promises come to pass. But I believe in preaching the word and believe in the word because that helps you move up into what God has for you. And Jesus said, you reject the commandment of God or the word of God that you may keep your tradition. He goes on in verse 13 and says, you make the word of God of no effect through your tradition. I grew up in a very traditional church. I grew up in a very religious church. Did you know we have a man? We love this man. His son went to school with our son. They love Jesus. He got born again at Stanford University. But he told me, he heard one time about, we had a woman, somebody was talking to me today about Billy Burke, and I gave him this testimony. She came to Billy Burke's meeting. She had already been to hospice. She was gray. She had AIDS. She was white, but she was gray. Her skin was gray. And they sent her home from hospice to die. She came to church, got prayed for. She said, I'm healed. Do you know what? She was just as gray after she got prayed for, and she came the next week and she said, I'm healed. And then she came the next week after Billy was gone. She said, I'm healed. But you know, in 2 weeks, you could start to see her skin started to turn pink. Within about a month, her skin totally turned pink. And did you know what? She was diagnosed. The AIDS completely left her, and she was completely healed by the power of God. I thank God. The word, you know what? If you don't preach it, you're not going to get it. Billy was a little boy. He was dying of cancer. And his grandma went and they gave him like 2 weeks to live. He had a tumor growing out of his head. His eyes were crossing. His grandma went and got him out of the hospital and took him to the Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He still goes there and holds meetings. Aaron was going to college at Pittsburgh and went and heard him. And he was up in the balcony. And when he was up there in the balcony, Catherine Kuhlman called him out and said, there's a young man in the balcony. Your name is Billy. And if you'll come down right now, God is going to heal you. His grandma had got him out of the house, out of the hospital 24 hours early and told him for 24 hours straight, when she touches you, you'll be healed. When she touches you, you'll be healed. When she touches you, and he's like 70 years old and he's healed by the stripes of Jesus. The power of God is working. Why? Because somebody came and preached the word of God and demonstrated the word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, when I came to you, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We need to move into the demonstration of the Spirit and power and see people set free, but we're not going to do it if we don't respect the Word of God. If we don't preach the Word of God, we're not going to receive what the Word of God says. And there's a lot of people saying a lot of things that do not agree with what God says. And if you want what God says, you've got to believe what God says. Amen. Praise God. Billy still gets lots and lots of people healed. He looks at some things different, but I don't care. He moves in the power of the Holy Ghost and he gets people healed. Amen. So faithfulness is required, respect to the word of God. And then I better get this one because I'm getting a little fired up. We got to serve God with joy. Roger had no idea what I was going to preach on tonight. But we need to serve God with joy. And this has been a new revelation. He's talking about me when he was talking about in December, because I got a new revelation of some old things that I knew, but I'd let them slip. And right here in Nehemiah, what happened was that when they began to read the word of God, the people began to weep. Let's read about it. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9 through 12. And Nehemiah which is the Tershai, and Ezra the priest and the Levites taught the people and said to the people, this day is holy to the Lord. He says, and the people began to weep when they read the word of God. And he says, do not mourn nor weep, for all the people weep when they heard, they wept when they heard the words of the law. So why did they weep when they heard the word of God? Well, it could have been for a couple reasons. Maybe it was because they hadn't heard the word for so long. Did you know? I mean, it was revelation. We grew up in a church and we said we honored the word, but we just never really knew what it said. So when we heard what it said, we're like, hallelujah. I mean, that was my response. It was my first time when I got in a full gospel meeting, 14 years old, Andrew Womack, teaching in a Bible study in Lamar, Colorado, when nobody knew him. It was in Bobby Apple's house. Bobby Apple actually called here to the office, probably watched our program or something, but he called here Monday, hallelujah. And I've tried to call him back twice and haven't got him, but I was excited that he called. But I sat over there on the floor, and Andrew led, you know, with the 12-string guitar. And when he got done, he was his own sound man. He had a little mic, and he plugged it into a Marantz cassette, single cassette tape. He was his own sound man, and he started recording. He held his Bible like this in his hand. And when he did, I was born again. I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, listen to this man. He knows what he's talking about. Well, I've been listening to him for 47 years, and I'm still listening to him, and I'm still getting revelation, and the Word of God is still changing my life. But that very first night, I left with hope. Why? Because when the Word of God gives us hope, the promise of God gives us hope. And I thought, praise God, I don't have to be sick, and I don't have to be poor, and I don't have to be defeated by the devil. Now, I've had chances to get sick and die, and I've had chances to go broke, and I've had chances to let the devil defeat me, but I just keep believing God. Did you know what? You wouldn't have a testimony if you never had a test. But just because you have a test, don't say that God did it to you. Amen. Believe God. So they might have been weeping because they hadn't heard the word for so long. They might have been weeping because they hadn't been keeping it. But you don't need to weep about what you missed out on, and you don't need to weep over the past. Guess what? You can't change the past. Whatever's past in the past, you can change the future. Amen. We don't need to weep about others' misunderstandings and mistakes. God gives people the chance to make their own choice. Did you know what? You can't make choices for people. You know, somebody came here the other day, and they said, well, you got this person, and they're not. Well, I got a lot of people. Do you know what? Everybody's got their own personal choice. And just because somebody comes to this church and makes a bad choice, that ain't my fault. It's my responsibility to give them the word, but they make choices. And what you do with it, it's your responsibility. Hallelujah. So he says, don't weep. Okay, Pastor Lawson, get happy. I need to practice what I'm preaching right now. He says, okay. So he said, go your way in verse 10. And he said, eat the fat, enjoy the goodness of God, drink the sweet, send portions to them who have nothing prepared for them, for this day is holy to the Lord. Celebrate the goodness of God. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Did you know what? This thing last year, did you know what? I found out that I'd been dealing with rejection, and some people that I respected, I felt like had rejected me in different ways. And so I got kind of sad. But guess what? My daddy told me. You know what my daddy told me? You can get glad in the same pants that you got sad in. And if you don't get glad, I'm going to give you a reason to get glad. So you got glad right now. Fisher, my son, my grandson, Fisher says, this is what Pastor Lawson's daddy said. And Heather's figured me out. She said, well, Pastor, really, you're pretty gracious, but there's one thing you don't like. She told me the other day. She's just spot on. She said, you do not like complaining. I said, you got it, baby. When them grandkids complain, I get them. Let's get a smile on your face right now. Hallelujah. We help you. Praise the Lord. That's how I was raised. Okay, forgive me. All right, but he says, listen, don't be sorry. Right, get glad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Somebody said this years ago, and it's so true, if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't have your goods. But you got to keep your joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so it says, the Levites stilled the people, said, hold your peace, and this day is holy, and do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions. Enjoy what God's given you. Have a great party. Sometimes you just need to have a party. You know, we had somebody that had a complaint, so we had to get him in and we had to listen to him. You know what I did? I went home and I sat on my porch and I laughed. Hallelujah. I thought, this is ridiculous. Anyway, praise the Lord. We're past that. We're moving forward. God's good. It's all come to an end. Hallelujah. Serve God with joy, Pastor Lawson. Amen. Enjoy what God has given you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That helps us keep taking the message and fulfill what God called us to do. We receive the strength of God to share the goodness of God with others. See, and when God brought me back into that revelation and I got that revelation, like I'm reading this book, right, about it was a practical application business administration book. And this, I heard this about a lawn care company. And this lawn care company had this culture. I never could identify these things. They said, so this is our culture. They said, number one, do whatever it takes. I've always told people, if they work here, this is your job description. Do whatever it takes. Number two, do everything with integrity. I agree 100%. I do not like dishonesty. Amen. I do not like lying. Always tell the truth. Do everything with integrity. The third one was be passionate. You could probably tell I'm passionate. So I'm like, I'm agreeing. But the last one was this, have fun. I'm like, I need to work on the fun. Right? Then later that week when I'm reading this book, I said, I'm going to adopt this, because this lawn care company took this and they grew three times when they adopted this culture. I said, man, I'm going to take that, because that identifies. So our motto is what? Believe in Jesus changes everything. But our culture, we said, this is how we work, right? Do whatever it takes. Do everything with integrity, right? Be passionate, but have fun. I still need to keep working on the fun, and I'm getting a little bit better at it, okay? But this, it says, and that's what they told me, that counselor told me a long time ago, right? Acts 2:46 says, the church ate their meat with gladness. They had favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. And that word, when it says they ate their meat with gladness, it says they had extreme joy. Everybody say extreme joy. Say, get happy, Pastor Lawson. I watch myself preach sometimes, and I'm like, I really need to cheer up a little bit, okay? So we've adopted that, and I believe it's going to help us, amen? So here's some things in conclusion. How can we build leaders, right? Because the task for a moment's building a building, building a wall, building a city, building whatever, but the task for life is building the body of Christ, building leaders. And how do we do that? Well, number one, we got to have faithful people. Number two, we always respect the word of God. Why? Because we've got the unchangeable word of an unchangeable God. We have the eternal word of an eternal God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will remain forever. Number three, live in kingdom joy, because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not a lot of religious rules and regulations, but it's righteousness, it's peace. And it's joy. Everybody say joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So let's operate in joy. Did you get something good? All right.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.